Okay, here we are. Where are we going?
We are on our way. Uh-huh. We are at the SciFair ISD DLC, Digital Learning Conference at the Berry Center.
Berry Center, yep.
And we just got the opportunity to interview Jake Miller.
Jake Miller, okay.
The Jake Miller.
The Jake Miller, I hear so much about him.
We tried to get Casey Bell, but yeah, she was available. So we had to go with this guy, you know? But wait, is that him?
Is that him? Oh, I think so. It looks like him.
Oh my gosh.
Here we go.
He was much taller than
that. And he had to wear some crazy shoes, I thought.
He's not wearing any crazy shoes. Whoa, hey there. He looks like Jake Miller. Hey, are you Jake Miller?
I'm not Jake Miller, but I'm his biggest fan!
What? Perfect. Welcome to the latest episode of Connect Ed Tech,
a podcast where the E and D may or may not stand for Elizabeth
and Daryl.
Hey everyone, we are here on location at the SciFair Digital Learning Conference at the Berry Center in Cyprus. Do we know where we are?
It took me a while to get here.
Yeah, we both got lost. Took the wrong exit on 99. I added about 15 minutes to my trip here, and I was making good time. All those tolls, that's all I can
I know the tolls. I don't even know how much I spend to get here, but we're so happy to be here.
We are so happy to be here. We've had a really good time here at the conference. A lot of big names here. I was kind of shocked how they brought in all these people. I'm like, what is going on in SciFair? They brought in Casey Bell, Leslie Fisher.
That's pretty much it, right?
That's it. Do you know what this guy is?
We tried our hardest to get one of them to be on our podcast and, you know, be our guest and interview them. And they're like, oh, yeah, we're too busy.
Yep.
And they're like, okay, well, I guess we'll settle for Jake Miller.
Jake Miller. Yeah. The Jake Miller.
So what time is it, Daryl?
It's Miller time!
That's right, we are so happy and excited. Cannot tell you how excited we are that Jake Miller is here, our very first in-person guest at the Berry Center.
I know.
Yeah. On the Connect Ed Tech podcast. So how are you doing, Jake?
I'm doing great. I'm excited to be here. Yeah. It's a blast. This is my first time in Texas ever, like anywhere in Texas. My first visit to Texas from Ohio. And I'm honored to be here. Excited to be down here presenting. I presented 5 sessions today. And the best part was that people were just like psyched to learn, right? That's the best. Like educators that are psyched to learn. That's awesome.
It's a southern hospitality.
Cool. Is it? Is that what it is?
Texas, yeah.
Tell us what some of the sessions were that you...
So I did, my first one was Educational Duct Tape, which is a session based off of the metaphor that's my show, and then Stop Motion Slides, where we work together to make animations in Google Slides. I did 2 called Hackaroni and Cheese, which is the new one. So I do some different hacks using Google tools, and then just a bunch of cheesy jokes that come along the way in the process, so hence Hackaroni and Cheese.
Well, we are all about cheesy jokes.
We expect you to have
There may have been a few before we started recording, right?
Maybe
there are some on
the recording. Maybe.
There you go.
And then I did one on Google Sheets called MVFs, Most Valuable Formulas, because I'm a nerd.
Look at you.
That's great.
Yeah.
Wait, didn't you call me a nerd earlier?
We're all nerds. That's why we're here together.
Yeah. There you go.
They checked our nerd ID at the door to make sure we're allowed in.
Well, we're educators.
Right.
That's what we are. We're all nerds. So tell us about your background a little bit. Tell the audience, the viewers, a little about who Jake Miller is, where you're from, your education background.
Yeah, so I'm from Ohio. I live in Kent, Ohio, and I started in education about 15 years ago. My dream coming out of college was to be a math teacher. I wanted to teach middle school math, and I wanted to teach it for the rest of my career for like 40 years and then retire in the same classroom the whole time. I just loved what I was doing. But then it turned out that I wanted to just keep exploring different things in education, so I tried 4th grade math, and I tried 9th grade math, and I tried 8th grade science, and then I taught a STEM class. And throughout those years, 12 years in the classroom, I found that I was getting really, really, really into educational technology. I went from using it a little bit when I first started off to then I was starting to present with PowerPoint, and then I was starting to use smart boards, and then I was starting to have my students use the technology, and then I just kept ramping it up as I kept seeing what else was possible. And then I started teaching the teachers I worked with how to do it, and then teaching teachers across our school building how to do it, and then across our district, and then I wanted to go to conferences, and then as I started connecting with those educators who were feeling nervous about using educational technology and scared of the technology and felt like they couldn't do it, and I was finding myself helping them do it, I was like, I want to do more of this, right? And so then I switched gears. Even though I love being in the classroom, the thing I really enjoy is helping the teachers in order to indirectly help the students. And so I became a tech coach. And then as I wanted to keep expanding how many students I could help through helping their teachers, I started doing stuff on Twitter and stuff on my website and then the Educational Duct Tape podcast to just continue to support educators, you know, and using technology to benefit students.
Speaking our language.
Right.
Totally. Unless he's telling a story, I'm thinking, gosh, it mirrors so much of just mine and Daryl's educational journey, too.
Yeah.
Now, you did mention the podcast, the EduDuct Tape podcast. And we brought
Look at the duct tape. There's five different kinds of duct tape.
And we brought ducks.
Ducks, yes, quack.
Yeah, because at first, when I first heard about your EduDuct Tape podcast, I thought, what does this guy do? Does he sell duct tape? I didn't know.
That could be a side thing, though.
Right, it could be.
You can make your own brand of duct tape.
I've been waiting for the duct tape companies to reach out to me. They haven't yet.
Well, this is it. This is your moment.
This is my moment. Guys,
there you go. Do a plug-in.
Duct tape companies, reach out to me. I'll be a sponsor. Or a spokesperson. You'll be a sponsor.
YouTube.
There you go.
Coming on right now. You're just going to be tagging it all up.
Right.
Yeah, really good. So we were thinking about doing a little challenge.
Okay.
If you're up for it.
Okay, I'm up for it.
Get into some more questions.
I'm up for it, man.
Yeah, you up for it?
Yeah, we're all going to be up for it. Yeah. Is there a prize?
I felt like I should be the judge.
No, I think you should participate.
I'm really bad at this.
No, you have to.
This is real makerspace.
You must.
It's just really not what I do.
You must.
And let me move this out of the way because I got to get some space.
We should all be in it and Tina should be the judge.
Oh, there you go.
He said that too. Okay, all right.
Speaking my
Tina
language.
Can be the judge. So we're all going to choose a roll of duct tape.
Okay.
And we'll let our guest pick first, I guess.
Okay.
What color would you like, Jake?
Okay, I'm going with the blue. I like the blue. She wanted the blue.
I'm
messing with her.
All right, well, I'm just going to give the red then.
Okay.
It's closer to me.
I'll take this green one.
Green one? Okay. So, Daryl, what is the challenge?
The challenge, if you choose to accept, you're going to have to because we told you to. We're going to make...
It's on video.
We're going to have a minute to create a duck out of duct tape.
Okay.
Just a minute.
Just a minute,
okay? And... Let's see how well your makerspace is.
Who wins the duct tape making? Okay.
Okay.
Ready?
We don't really know when the minute's up, so we just need a loud timer to go off.
Timer 1 minute.
Timer 1 minute.
Yeah.
Do I just type that in there?
Online timer.
Yeah.
In the Omni. Or Manny's got it.
So we have a guest also in our audience today.
The Peanut Gallery.
You may have remembered him as Jake Mueller's biggest fan. So Manny's going to be checking the time for us. Manny, will you just give us a little warning?
Well, no, we have to put the duct tape down on the table.
Like to start
hands like
blindfold.
This.
No, I'm just kidding. Hands on the table. Here we go.
Like man, you're getting 1 minute. Too technical with this. I can't stand it. All right.
Do you remember the challenge? Do we have to repeat?
We're making a duck. Okay, we have to make a duck out of the duct tape. And Manny. Okay, we need a warning. So at 30 seconds, what sound are you going to make?
Quack, quack.
Okay, now when the time is up, Manny, what sound are you going to make?
Yeah.
All right, so the sound's exactly
the same. That's
I thought he was going to pull in a quack, quack.
Quack, quack. Quack, quack.
Okay. Okay, tell us when to start, Manny.
Okay, go.
This is going to be the noisiest portion of the podcast. I can't even tear it.
Two different colors of duct tape.
See, I really don't have
a plan. Mine's already twisted up.
Did you have a plan, Elizabeth? You knew the challenge.
No, I just thought of it on the way here.
I want some yellow.
I know, that's what we should have grabbed.
The
yellow.
Red with beak.
Okay, see, that's the sound that people want to hear, the duct tape.
Right. Well, what I like on my podcasts is duct tape tearing sound.
What I feel bad for right now is the listeners of this, the ones who listen and don't watch, because they hear all of this tape.
They're missing out on the action.
What we're doing and all the action of this.
And I bet you someone out there.
Don't try to cheat.
Guys, mine has wings. Is yours have wings?
Not yet. Oh my God, a minute goes by so fast.
You messed up.
You said wings, so it needs wings. Oh, shoot.
Go back here.
Like, listen a second.
I'm going to fold the tail in.
She's the judge.
Okay? Tina. Tina, who won?
I don't even.
Does Tina have a voice?
Mine's more like a pig.
Tina's voice sounds like this, I imagine. I don't know who won, but I rather like the girl to my right. So I'm going to pick the cobra.
Tina, you're the worst.
She's so proper, that Tina. Oh, Tina.
Well, we did it.
I believe Jake should win.
Okay, thanks.
So you can have the duct tape color of your choice to take as a memento. And feel free to take the rubber ducks as well.
Quack.
If you want. Quack, quack. All right. Well, that was good. That was fun.
That was fun. A little makerspace.
Quick little makerspace challenge.
He's a makerspace kind of
guy. You try. Yeah. I'm learning.
I just feel like we should display the cobra because he's, like, real cool.
I'm going to put this behind the mug. I'd rather not people see that. But anyways, all right, let's get back.
That's the first time I've ever, like, remotely come close to being better than you at something, and that was not good.
When it comes to, like, art and drawing and
it was not good.
Making things.
Okay, yeah. So let's back to the real reason.
Okay.
We're here, Jake Miller. Okay, so this Edge of Duct Tape, how did that all come about? Can you tell us why you chose that name? What is it that this name is supposed to represent?
Right.
How does it connect to education?
Well, so I tell a story on the show about my bounce house that my kids have at home, and we still have it. My kids are now 10, 8, and 5, so I think we're just about done with it. So just listeners, viewers, we're going to be putting up for sale on Facebook pretty soon. You know, it's Kent, Ohio Porch Pickup. If you just want to swing by, you can buy it. But,
yeah, especially those of you who live here.
Right, yeah. Come on over, grab a bounce house. But it's an inflatable bounce house, and we got it from my kids for Christmas years ago, my wife's idea, not mine, and it's 8 feet in diameter, it takes up like a whole living room. Our kids absolutely love it, but the problem is I had a love-hate relationship with it, right? Every day I had to inflate it for them, and then when they were finally over it, I had to deflate it. So I had to be the guy that rolled around on top of it to get rid of this thing, right? And I would do this every month or two. We'd take it back out for the kids for them to play with it again. They'd love it. They'd be bored with it 2 days later. We'd put it away again, and I'd get it back out. And finally, one day it had a hole, right? And so I thought, finally, this is my chance to throw this thing away. It's leaking, right? But then I saw my kids giggling about the fsss noise that it made when it had the hole. And I saw how cute they were. And I was like, I've got to fix it for them. I can't just throw it away, right? Even though I wanted to. So I had to patch it. And what I patched it with was duct tape. We had lost the patch kit that went with it. And duct tape was perfect. And that kind of started to meld with the situation that I had when I was at a tech conference, where I realized that the people who were best suited to implement what they were learning were the people who were seeing the technology they were learning about as a tool. They weren't feeling overwhelmed about the number of tech tools. But they also weren't feeling like they were going to use all of them and excited about all of them and just use them just because they're fun. They were going, okay, this tool is for formative assessment. This tool is for lesson delivery. This tool is for visual representations. And they were putting them onto their toolbox, and then they were pulling them out when they had the right lesson, the right goal, the right unit, the right learning standard, whatever it was. And then they pulled it out to use it. And I was like, well, that's just like that duct tape, right? I didn't use a hammer to patch that bounce house, although there were times that I wanted to. I used duct tape. I don't use duct tape to do other jobs around the house because it's not always the appropriate tool. But so it became a metaphor of when we look at educational technology, we think about what we're trying to achieve for our students first. What is our goal? What is our learning standard? What's our problem? And then we select the tool. And so duct tape is the stand-in for that tool. Wow. Just the most fun tool to reference.
See, I will never look at duct tape the same ever again.
And that's my guerrilla marketing scheme now, too, that every time somebody looks at duct tape, they're like, educational duct tape. There I'm going to see how Jake's doing.
Right. And another plug.
Yeah, another plug. Duct tape brands.
Sparkle on his teeth.
There you go.
Yeah, that was a way deeper.
That was deep.
I really snapped
at that.
Yeah, really. It was very, very good. I love that, being very purposeful about the tool. And the fact that you're not overwhelming the teachers and educators with too much.
Right.
It's just like our thing that we've been saying a lot is start small. You don't have to do it all.
Yeah.
It's just like pick that one thing that serves a purpose. I love it.
There's so many shiny things out there. Right. It's hard to get stuck on the tool.
Right.
Yeah.
You figure out what you want to show, what you want to teach, and you focus on that. Yeah.
Well, you can't do them all. You're going to overwhelm your students. You're going to overwhelm yourself. You're going to water down your effect if you're trying to do all of the things all of the time. You do whatever you can to address whatever goals seem most front of the line to you, right? And as long as you keep moving forward with them, then you're doing good things for your kids, right? You just keep adding on whatever is the next tool that you think helps your kids.
Yeah, and you can't just grab the whole shiny new gadgets. I kind of compare it to the Christmas tree versus the oak tree. That's like my metaphor for it. Because we're so quick to grab on those shiny little ornaments that are so fleeting.
Right.
And they change, right? They come and they go.
Mm-hmm.
But then the oak tree is like sturdy.
Forever,
stands.
Right,
like, so
yeah.
What do you like? Find those things that really that meet your purpose and then just kind of ground yourself and go for it. I love it. That's really good. So that's your podcast. You have a website by the same name?
Well, there's eduducttape.com, which brings you to the stuff about the podcast. And then there's also jakemiller.net is where my other stuff is.
Wowzers.
Yeah, mostly GIFs there.
Okay.
He said it. He's a good segue. Man, that was a good segue. You're going to have to move to the way other side. Okay, so you bring up a really nice little friendly debate in the ed tech world about the pronunciation of GIF or JIF, right? And we forgot, man, we were going to bring a jar of peanut butter, right? Gonna bring that. Totally forgot it.
I'm allergic to Jif peanut butter, though.
Really?
Not the other peanut butter. Just Jif.
I wonder what's in it.
It's the pronunciation, I think. If it was Gif peanut butter,
you are wrong for that.
You'd be fine.
You are wrong for that. Now, see, we know Jif,
they won't endorse you now.
They won't endorse
you.
Me.
Got Miller,
the duct tape company,
duct tape. Will, but not Jif.
Not Jif. No. That's okay. I'll take Skippy.
You darn Skippy. That's really fine. That's really funny. So the maker of the JIF, not GIF, says he meant it to be pronounced like the JIF.
Right.
We know
right.
that. We've seen him in interviews saying this, right? Mm-hmm. We have seen it. Daryl made a really good point earlier. I didn't think of it. I wish I would have.
What did I make?
You're talking about Lily the Llama. Not Lily. Tina the Llama. Because we said something about the JIF peanut butter. That's Lily.
Right.
That's Tina.
You said we should
dress her up like a giraffe.
Okay.
Right.
Because a giraffe is spelled G-I, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and so is G-I.
Giraffe.
No, dress up like a giraffe. All right. So tell us, some people may not even know what we're talking about.
Right.
They might not even know what a GIF GIF is.
Right.
So could you explain what a GIF GIF is and how you use
it? A GIF GIF.
GIF
GIF. Right. A GIF GIF.
So,
GIF.
The gift of GIF.
The gift of GIF. So a GIF is... It's like halfway between a photo and a video, right? It's like a photo file in that it's small and then it's silent. It doesn't have audio with it, but it's like a video and then it has motion involved in it, right? Typically, they're like 10-second GIFs of Steve Carell doing something on The Office or something like that we send to our friends in different conversations. But what I started using them for was to show educators primarily how to do different things with technology. So it might be how to create pre-filled links to your Google Form or how to filter your email so you stop seeing those notifications from Google Classroom or whatever it might be, something an educator might use, a short GIF. Rather than having them watch a 12-minute-long video, having them watch a 30-second-long GIF, no audio required, no headphones needed, and it would just play and loop as many times as they needed it to. And I found that once I started making them, it really resonated with teachers. You know, they really liked that format and were kind of coming to it more and more to learn from them.
It's a science trying to put all that information in like between 10 and 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And making
yeah.
sure it's timed perfectly mm-hmm. where it's clear for people to see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll look at some of them and I'll go like, well, I made that one too fast or this one is going too slow but it really is like how do I be as clear and concise mm-hmm. as possible when I make this GIF so that they get just the information they need but there's no distractors in it.
How do you determine that? How do you determine what topic to do the GIF GIF on?
I have a list going on my phone in Google Keep, and whenever something goes like that should be a GIF, I just put it on a list, and then when I have time to make one, I sit down and just pick something from the list. But normally it comes up when I'm talking to an educator, and I show them how to do something, and they're like, oh, right? And I'm like, okay, I'll make a GIF out of that, because other people should know that.
You see that light bulb.
Right, when you see the light bulb come on, I'm like, I should share this with more people in that way. Yeah.
And they're quick, and they're easy, yeah. and, you know.
Yeah. It started because I realized that I was making videos and people weren't watching the videos I was making. And it was because there were too many hurdles. They didn't know who I was. They didn't have the time. They didn't want to click. They didn't have their headphones with them or they weren't in a place where they could hear it. And I needed to lower the hurdles and a GIF lowered the hurdles for them.
Do you use specific tools to create them?
I use Camtasia to create all mine.
Okay.
And Camtasia really is the top of the line way to do it. That's if somebody really wants to start doing it, that'd be the tool to use. However, it's like $160 for educators and $200 for the general public. So most people aren't going to use it. And if you're not going to make them regularly, it's really not. I'm going to say it's kind of not worth it unless you're going to really do it.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a lot of other tools out there that allow you less like. "Quote unquote personalization of what you put in there. So like, whereas mine, they'll zoom in on the part of the screen we're talking about, and they'll have annotations pop up. Most tools don't let you do that. So that's why Camtasia is kind of the best.
That's really good. I know that with the premium version of Screencast. I know that with the premium version of Screencastify,
mm-hmm. you can make GIFs.
They have it on there. You can make GIFs also. And
you can. I don't know if you can.
You can make GIFs with them. So the premium, and I think that's like $24 a year. So I'm thinking about those the educators out there that may. be on a tighter budget, that could be an option for them too.
Well, and that's a great way to just get in there and see, do I like doing this? Is this a format that I like making? And then you could see, well, maybe I do want to level up and go with something like Camtasia.
Right. You know? If it becomes more of a passion for you.
Now, Camtasia does have a trial version that'll still let you export GIFs. You just get like a watermark on the screen. But it's still a nice way to try it out and see if it's something you want to go
with. I know. I almost pulled the trigger on Camtasia Black Friday. One day it went on sale for like $90.
Really?
Yeah, which is like, I almost did.
That's a great deal,
That's shocking to me that you didn't do that.
You should have.
Yeah. Mm.
How many GIFs have you created that are out there?
We've created zero GIFs.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's on.
I should not be apologizing.
No, you shouldn't.
You see how I apologize? I shouldn't be apologizing. I'm sticking to my guns here.
Okay, all right.
Very rarely will Daryl and I agree
100%. I know. I'm like, you agree with me?
And it's happening.
There was a Twitter war out there, too, and I know Manny was like, because he's also Team GIF.
It stands for graphic.
Graphics.
Graphic.
But that doesn't make it pronounced graphic.
Yeah. I don't know. But to answer the question, around like 150 or so.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wowzers.
Yeah.
That's a lot. That's a lot of time. How much time does it take you to make one?
Anywhere between a half an hour and an hour, which is ironic because you can watch them in a minute, but it takes me like an hour to make them. And there's a quote that gets credited to Mark Twain a lot, but there's dispute on who said it, but it's something to the extent of, I would have written a shorter letter, but I didn't have time. It would have taken me more time to be more clear and concise. And that's what happens with the GIF, right? Because I've got to practice it to get it so that I could be quick doing it and to make sure there's no like excess clicks and looking around the screen trying to find the thing I want to do. And also to make sure there's no distractors in there to make sure I really be like shortened to the point.
Yeah. You know? That's like those 6-word stories. I used to have my students write those. That was sometimes in 10-word summaries. That was sometimes the most complicated, higher-level thinking thing they could ever do because they had to only focus on the most important pieces of what they were trying to convey. Yeah. Have you ever written a 6-word story before? That'll be a challenge on our future podcast. I'm prepping you now, so you'll do some homework. And
that's 5, 2. GIF. It's pronounced GIF. It is pronounced...
That's syllables not going to work. Are you trying to write a haiku?
I don't know. Science teacher here. Okay.
Okay, so Jake, if you could just pick one EdTech tool, free tools, please. EdTech tool that you're like, man, this is my diehard go-to EdTech tool. What would it be and why?
So if I've got to pick one piece of software that I can't give up, it's Google Chrome, right? Because it's just such a big part of my workflow. Like I do everything in Chrome and I just like how it works. You know, I like my extensions. I like my Google sidebar with Keep on the side. I like my bookmarks all set up and everything. So I love Google Chrome and I love everything in the G Suite set of tools. But if I've got to say something that's like ed tech, like its goal is ed tech, it's Flipgrid, because I feel like it just does so many different things that benefit kids. Like it allows us to hear their voice, it allows them to share, it allows them to hear each other's voice. Like it celebrates the student voice, and it just does so many different things. But you know, we were talking earlier about how you pick the best tool for you, and sometimes it can be overwhelming because there are so many tools out there. So Flipgrid is like the trendy tool right now, right? It's one of those tools that like everybody's talking about. And that doesn't mean that everybody has to be using it. So even though I think like that's my favorite, if I'm in the classroom tomorrow and I'm using an ed tech tool, like there's a good chance it's going to be Flipgrid. But that doesn't mean that even with that same lesson with those same students that a different teacher should use Flipgrid, right? They use whatever works best for them, you know, whatever works best. You know?
They're coming up with a new update soon, right?
Yeah,
and
so
changing the camera and everything.
To August 1st, I think. So by the time this is airing, right? It'll be up. So the new camera with the shorts camera, the ability to pause, the ability to change from like front facing camera to rear facing camera, to add a whiteboard on the screen and write on the screen, and all kinds of stuff. Like lots of big updates coming from them, and all free.
All free, and they have that AR component now that people seem to be pretty.
And that's a lot of ed tech tools that are old. Kahoot.
Right.
A lot of people say they're GimKits now, GimKitters. But Kahoot, they've updated, they've changed. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people just, you know, forget. But just check those out. Check the old ones out.
Right. Well, it's really about how you're using it. Right. Like, what are you accomplishing for the kids?
Yes.
What are you accomplishing for the learning experience? Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be the newest and trendiest. Right. As long as, you know, I talk about the Maya Angelou quote that's, do the best you can until you know better. And then when you know better, do better. So if the best you know for what you're trying to achieve is Kahoot, then use Kahoot. If you have analyzed your situation and you know now that the best for your students is GimKit, then you need to switch.
Right.
Right, because that's what your kids need you to do. But you don't have to switch just because, right?
Right.
You switch because of what you're trying to achieve for your kids.
I love that on the instructional side, the teacher being purposeful about the tools
right.
she uses, but then the students with the ISTE standards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have to be purposeful about what
right.
they choose to show their...
Right, yeah. Kids need to start to develop this understanding of, when do I pick to make video? When do I pick to make an audio thing? When do I pick
right.
to use drawings or slides or docs? Mm-hmm. They really need to develop that skill, because that's something that they're going to need. It's going to be huge for them in the workforce. You know, they already do it already. Like, if you ask a kid, when do you use Snapchat versus when do you use Instagram versus when do you use text messaging?
That's true.
They've got
that's
reasons
true.
For why they use each one. Mm-hmm. Like, they text mom one way and their mm-hmm. friends one way and the different things. They depending on what the goal is. So they just need to pivot that to choosing the things they use in the
right.
classroom.
It's like, you know? When do you say GIF? When do you say GIF?
Right. You say GIF when you're talking about
time.
Peanut butter.
You always say GIF.
I always say GIF.
You always say GIF. Oh, my gosh. You just talking about that whole thing with the students, that's a really good activity that teachers could do with their kids, just to kind of find out,
mm-hmm.
you know, what are they into? Talking about those social medias that they use. And when they use them and
mm-hmm.
why they use them, that's some higher level thinking for
right.
them. Because I bet you the kids don't really think about why they're doing it
right.
because they're in the moment,
mm-hmm.
but there's a process going on that they haven't really tapped into.
Right.
So what a great little segue into that, just being purposeful
right.
and choice.
Yeah.
I love that. It's really good. So we follow a lot of people on Twitter,
mm-hmm.
and you do too, I'm sure. So can you give the viewers and listeners some of those people that you follow?
I follow four people.
Okay.
Okay.
I follow Daryl.
Yeah.
And that's it. Just
yes! Yes!
I follow all three of you.
Daryl's personality is the equivalent of four people.
You just,
right.
you just made
four
my
Daryl accounts.
Year.
For Daryl. I have
life.
Like I made a different Twitter account to follow him from that one too.
Oh my
so
gosh. So that was you?
Yeah, it was me.
Did you pay him to do this?
I didn't.
I also follow Tina. Her Instagram feed is
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's really good. I find that I follow more people than I could possibly read all the content from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if I try to keep following new people when I see new people doing great things, but it's too much to keep up with. So what I've done for myself for my own functionality is I've made lists in Twitter. So I have a list of people that I want to see. Maybe if I'm learning about Flipgrid, I want to see the people that tweet mm-hmm. about Flipgrid. If I'm learning about Google, I want to go see the people that are tweeting about Google. But then I also have a list of, like, these are the people that I don't want to miss anything they tweet,
mm-hmm.
right? That this is the maximum amount that I could get in and keep up with. And these are the people. These are those accounts I have to follow, like the Google for Education account. Like, I want to see every update they
right.
post. So
right.
I follow. I make sure I don't miss anything. Eric Kurtz, Tony Vincent, like these people who like their stuff is always gold. I'm like, I want to make sure I don't miss anything that they tweet. And then if you're following the right people, they're great curators, right? So then I'm seeing the stuff, the good stuff coming from the other people too. And I go like, yeah, I need to be seeing everything they tweet too, right? And then I add more to it. But I think it's overwhelming for teachers. Like, you see these new teachers get started on Twitter, and then somebody will tweet, hey, so-and-so is new to Twitter. Tell them 15 people to follow. And then
mm-hmm.
20 people
tell
them 15
right.
people to follow, and they can't keep up with all those
right.
people. I really think you pick a handful that fits what you need. Like, what content area are you teaching? What grade level are you teaching? What kinds of tools are you interested in? You follow that 5 or 10 people, and then as the discussions go and the hashtags are used and they tag other people and they retweet other people,
mm-hmm.
then you go down some rabbit holes and you're like, oh, well, I want to follow that person too. Like, I really like what they're tweeting. And then you start adding on to it as you get comfortable. So it's not really about how many people you're following. It's about what you're getting out of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have to follow a lot of people, although it hurts people's feelings.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, why haven't you followed me?
Tina was mad at me because I wasn't following her, so I followed her.
Yeah.
And she was doing great stuff, so I was like, why didn't I follow her?
Exactly. And then you realize just how valuable Tina was.
I don't even know if I'm following Tina. I guess I should follow.
No.
Oh, yeah. Her account is great.
Yeah. Okay.
Follow La La Llama.
La 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 La.
That's right. For real.
La 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 La.
Okay, this was awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Okay, so if our viewers and listeners would like to get in contact with you or follow you, uh-huh. how would they go about doing that?
I am on MySpace. We'll put the link
okay.
in the show notes.
Yeah,
MySpace.
Okay. It's
right.
a broken
space,
link.
All space.
It's a broken link.
It's a broken link.
I'm going to check that out to see if it's still around.
Yeah, it might be.
It might be.
So jakemiller.net is most of my content. And then eduducttape.com is for the podcast. And then
duct tape.
Duct quack. Not a quack,
not
quack.
A quack quack.
Duct like the tape. Even though this is duct tape brand with
right.
the K.
Right.
It's duct tape is what it is.
Intentional.
Intentional. And then at Jake Miller Tech on Twitter and on Instagram and on Facebook and even on Snapchat, which I don't get it, but I'm on it.
Awesome.
Alrighty.
Yeah, we don't get Snapchat either.
That's weird.
We try.
It's weird.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
Awesome. Good job. One last little shout out to all of our duct tape creations today. Mm-hmm. This would be a really great activity to do with your students or your children at home. They may want to make their little cobra, like mine here. And the whatever that is that Jake's holding.
Well, it's a hairy duck because it got some of Tina's hair on it.
The hairy duck. And then what is that thing?
Apparently it's a rhino.
It's a rhino.
That's what I was going for, a rhino, you see?
It looks like the Hapara sheepicorn. Do you guys use Hapara here?
Hapara? No.
Hapara is a tech tool, and they have a mascot. It's a sheep unicorn or something like that.
Sheepicorn.
It looks like a sheepicorn.
Well, there you go, Hapara.
Okay, yeah. Kids, don't try this at home.
They're going to sponsor you now,
Hapara. Yeah, yes, Hapara.
You made
here you go. I made it. It's yours if you want
it.
Just
plug it now, guys. Okay. Well, anyway, thank you guys so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time on the
Flipping Good Side of Tech.
You can find all things related to the Connect Ed Tech podcast by visiting our website, flippinggoodtech.com. And while you're there, make sure to click on all the tabs for a closer look at who we are and why we're passionate about everything we do.
And most importantly, be sure to follow us at Flippin' Good Tech on all social media platforms. And subscribe to our YouTube channel for quick access to all the latest podcast episodes, Connected Tech promos, and Flippin' 5 Tech Tips.